So we're continuing our thinking on life together. And what does that look like as a church? And we as a church are church. We share life together. We are brothers and sisters, family, friends. And to be fair, there are plenty of people in this congregation that I just don't know. There's quite a lot of you, to be fair. But the fact is that we are bound and we are bonded together in and through the love of Jesus Christ, through faith in him and his finished work on the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, gifting us to build up the church. We do life together. And today, we are going to think about true friendship. Friends are important. They're important in our lives. They are with us in the good times and hopefully in the bad times. They support us. And to be fair, we enjoy friendship. I enjoy going out for a game of golf with my friends at least once a year, you know. But friendship is important. We need it in our lives. But friendship, what is friendship? Who are our friends? Who do we associate? Who are our true friends? What is true friendship? And I genuinely believe that we need to rethink our whole thinking on friendship, our paradigm of friendship. We need to discover true friendship. And when we do that, when we discover true friendship, we will experience, I believe, more blessing and become spiritually more mature than we ever have. True friendship is vital to us being disciples of the Lord. You know, if you search the Bible for friends or friendship, you will find many, many verses. Just 2 out of Proverbs says, "A friend loves at all times." Or in Proverbs 18, "But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Friendship is all about love. As we think about friendship, I think it is important to spend some time looking at love. And we're going to do that as we look a little bit at 1 Corinthians 13. And if you have your Bibles, please open that up. And yes, I know that we did look at this about a year and a half ago when we looked at small groups, big love. But I think this is really important for us to grasp. It speaks, this passage, of love, and love is generosity, it is kindly concern, it is devotedness. Christianity is all about love. Love, loving like Jesus, with selfless love, sacrificial love. It looks to the needs of others and not ourselves. And that is when we read this very often at weddings, and that is what a marriage is all about, a family is all about, it's what friendship is all about. Jesus said, as we read in John 15, "This is my command, love each other." Paul says in Romans, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." And in Corinthians, we see what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is interesting that patience is the first thing here. It's hard because patience is actually really very difficult for us to do. We need patience in our friendships because we are all very different people with different priorities. And to be fair, naturally, we are quite selfish. We usually want our own way. If we are not patient with each other, our friendships will be very short-lived, I think. And then there's kindness or gentleness. In a friendship, we need to be gentle with each other, being considerate with each other. If we're not kind to each other, how can we have any basis for friendship? These two go together, and they are key to true friendship. Just as Jesus is patient and kind to us, so must we be. We must be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Next, we see as we read down through this, is what love isn't. And love isn't envious. boastful, proud, rude, self-seeking, easily angered, focused on wrongs. Love isn't evil. Each of these are motivated by impatience and unkindness, which is driven by selfishness. They are the opposite of love. We all, every one of us, need to be careful about this list, not allowing any of them to creep into our friendships, because they destroy friendships. In fact, they destroy churches. Take a moment now to look at that list. Have you done any of these in your friendships? In your church family? With the people we are meant and called to love? If so, my call is this, and it is simple: repent and confess. Apologize for it. Turn away from it. This is so important that we look at our lives, at our friendships, and make sure that we are doing the patient and kindness thing and not all those other things that love is not. For example, keeps no records of wrongs. It is easy for us to remember a wrong and then to throw it back sometime later on. I know I've done it. But this builds up resentment and selfishness arises. True friendship isn't like that. It isn't easily angered. It seeks love and forgives because it is kind and patient. Like Jesus' love for us. When we come to him in faith, seeking forgiveness, he deals with our sin on the cross and it is forgiven, it is forgotten. We need to do this in our lives. We need to forgive. And then we move on in love. Next, we see what true friendship looks like. And I believe that these following points, which we have up on the screen, are all vital elements of a true friendship. In a true friendship, we should rejoice with the truth. Truth is vital. Open, honest, and accountable friendships are true. They are joyful. We get joy from friendships which are truthful. And you know, this gets us past what we are very good at as people. We're very good, very, very good, especially in Northern Ireland, of talking about the weather and superficial talk. Being truthful gets us to the important issues, whether they are good things or bad things. When we are vulnerable and honest about our struggles, our worries, our weaknesses, it allows us to love each other more effectively, growing our friendships. 1 Corinthians says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Friends should rejoice together. They should cry together. Without truth, this will not happen. As we share life together, it requires us to be truthful with each other. And then, in a true friendship, we should always protect. In true friendship, we protect each other, supporting, standing by and up for each other, looking out for each other. Ecclesiastes say, two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. In life, we have difficult times. When we are knocked down by other people's selfishness, we need people around us who can help to lift us up again. Because sometimes if we are left by ourselves to our own devices, to our own strength, we may never be restored. We may never get up again. True friends build up and never knock down. I've seen this many times with friends of mine. When they are attacked, I just want to go and I want to protect them. I'm quite a protective individual. I just want to protect them. And usually the first thing I have to get over is that desire to go and give a Christian slap to the person who's the offender. And then, you know, I do actually start to focus on my friend and restore them. You know, my mother was once heard over saying, never say anything negative about Karen around Stephen or else you're basically dead. I am protective, and we are called to be protective of those we love, of our friends. Jesus was protective of us. He came and he died for us. You know, the other side of this means that we also have to be brave enough to ask for help. Again, being vulnerable with each other, being truthful about our struggles. And sometimes it's tough to ask for help, and we can struggle and fight with it. But when we know that we have true friends, and our friends' desire is to protect us out of love, do you know, it should be easy, and we should do it. As we share life together, it requires us to protect each other. In a true friendship, we should always trust. In our friendships, as we are truthful, we seek to protect each other. And then, you know, trust comes from that. Trusting each other with the truth of our lives. So we keep confidences. You know, trust as well can think of believe. And as we believe in each other, our friendships grow. There's an interesting verse about trusting and friendships in Proverbs. It says this in Proverbs 27, 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Correcting is an important part of friendship. This is not knocking down. Don't mistake that. And it requires trust to work. It is part of protecting each other. But you know, at the start, it can be unwanted, especially if you're the one who is being corrected. But sometimes we must speak truth into our friends' lives, especially if they are damaging their walk with the Lord. We need to confront sin issues and not let them go on until it destroys lives. When we trust each other, those difficult words which we need to speak can be spoken and can be taken. Because they are from a place of love, not from a place of jealousy, malice, or pride. It's about love. This is something that I believe that Christians must get better at. We are so afraid of correcting our friends because, you know, we're scared of being called judgmental or losing a friendship. Sin issues are bigger. In true friendship, sometimes wounds must be given, but they are to be trusted. As we share a life together, it requires that we trust each other. In a true friendship, we should always hope. In true friendship, we hope for the best for each other, not allowing negative thought processes or talk to bring us down. Without hope, friendships will flounder. Hebrews challenges us in this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So we hope for the best, encouraging one another, spurring each other on in love to serve the Lord in our good deeds, always hoping that we will be the best disciples we can be, continuing to grow spiritually mature, to show more of the fruit of the Spirit and to use our spiritual gifts. True friends are a positive spiritual influence. True friends are a positive spiritual influence. As we share life together, it requires hope. And then in a true friendship, we should always persevere. Truthfulness, the desire to protect, trusting each other and hoping for the best, all work together to bring what every true friendship needs, perseverance. In Ephesians we read, "Be completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Bearing with each other, making every effort, loving deeply. True friendship perseveres. Be that through time. I have my oldest friend, we've been friends for 32 years now. That's quite impressive, I thought. I have three friends from university. 19 years ago, we've been friends. Maybe only meet up once, twice a year, but we are close friends. Circumstances and time proves friendship. As we share life together, it requires us to persevere with each other. This is what friendship should look like. I think that even non-Christians would probably agree with most of those little principles, elements. As we share life together as church, this is what we should be like with each other. And yes, there will be people who we are closer to, and that is human. But as a family who do life together, this is what we should strive for. How do we get to this place where we are true friends with each other? Edward Welsh, in his book Side by Side, says this: "We are needy. The goal is to become transparent and humble friends who are at ease with our neediness. We see our hardship and sin, speak openly about them to the Lord, and are willing to ask others to pray for us." Norman has mentioned this whole idea of an idol of individualism. And I think he is spot on. And the key thing that we must do is we must destroy the idol of individualism in our lives. We need to realize that we are needy, that we actually need others. Getting over our issues of pride that stop us from admitting that we are needy, and we need to own it. We are not individuals in this place. We are a family, and within this family, we should have friends who we rely on. If we don't have this, then maybe we are still fighting this idol of individualism. As Christians, there is one big thing that differentiates true Christian friendship from everything else, and that is confession and prayer. We find this in James. It says this: "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Confession and prayer. True friends pray for each other. And this is not in a superficial way. This is deep. It includes confession. This is true friendship. When we get that friendship is all about love, and that love is patient, it is kind, it isn't envious, boastful, proud, rude, self-seeking, easily angered, focused on wrongs or evil, that true friendship rejoices in the truth, protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. When we get this, then we will be in a place where we do, as James 5:16 says, confessing and praying for each other. That is when we will really have gotten what this true friendship thing is all about. And the benefits of this type of true friendship, I believe the church and us as a people have yet to see. Because I don't think we are doing this. Confession and prayer should be the marks of true Christian friendship. When we do this, we naturally share life together. Christians struggle with sin, with secret sins. We struggle and we struggle and we try to defeat it. But it's interesting that basically we continue to struggle for a lot of it. Because we don't do it together. We are individualistic. I read an interesting blog article by a guy called Michael Cran on James 5:16, and he basically says this: there are three reasons why mutual confession is good for us, to confess to our friends and pray for each other. And the first one is this: it causes us to face up to the sin in our lives. If we never confess our sins and faults to one another, it is easier for us to minimize the seriousness of the sin and to ignore the potential consequences. This is less likely if we confess our faults to one another. In addition, if we are going to actually do this, approach this practice of confessing and praying for each other honestly, then it will actually have a deterrent effect to us. If I know that I will be sharing my confessions with you on a Friday, you know, I will rethink my actions the day before when I am tempted to sin. As we confess and pray for each other, it causes us to face up to the sin in our lives. Then it causes us to seek out true friends, encouraging and building true friendships. As I've already sort of said a wee bit of this, I'm sure that we see this in our lives and relationships. Perpetual platitudes and shallow talk, while enjoyable, will not lead to intimate relationships. We need truthful, protecting, trusting, hopeful, and persevering friendships. There is no intimacy without risk. But we fear vulnerability, not realizing that without it, our hearts become stone. And not only do bad things not get out, but good things can no longer get in. And add to this the fact that if we are not actually mutually confessing, we are in disobedience to God's word. And then third, we have that we may help each other to be healed. And James was speaking of physical and spiritual healing. As we confess and pray to each other, encouraging and practically supporting each other, we can defeat the sin in our lives and know healing. God has put us together as a church to suffer with each other and also to rejoice together. Practicing confession and prayer will allow us to enjoy the full spectrum of relationship with God and with others. True friendship is how we as a church are to do life together. Realizing that we are needy and we are needed. This is the way the church moves forward, through mutual love and care. So let us be a people who know true friendship as we share life together. As Christians, let us pray and confess to each other. Because if we don't, we are missing out on the power and the wonder of true friendship. I've had occasion in this church to be talking to a friend of mine, and I was saying, it was back when I wasn't particularly well for a while, and I was saying about just not being well, and what did he do immediately? He said, let's just pray about it. You know? So we sat down, just at the front here actually, and we just prayed, and he prayed for me. That is what we need. We need to be praying for each other, open with each other, confessing to each other, and helping each other in love. Let us change our thinking on what a friend looks like, and seek to be patient and kind, rejoicing with the truth, always protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering, and engaging in the most important aspect of true friendship, confession and prayer for each other. Because that is what true friendship is all about.